who were really beat, and there were quite a few people who were really beat. I would say I saw at least 4 people really beat by policemen, for those who offered resistance.
What kind of resistance? They wouldn't move, or they were fighting the police?
They were fighting the police.
Warren Stack, is it?
That's right.
And you're fresh from hearing a lot of graduation speeches. What have you seen here?
Well, I'll first start off from the beginning. I arrived about 7 o'clock, and right then, the procession had just come from the park. They were going down the boulevard right where the hotel is. Now, at this time, it was very orderly, and they kept them in line, and at this time there was no police brutality, the very beginning of it. And from there on to the when they got to the hotel, I do not know what happened. But right there, about an hour later, when the procession had come up, the police started to have brutality, and around 8 o'clock, when they started to break up the crowd there, the people had stopped, and then the police in bands, they started to circle around and surround different groups. Now, at the time, I was on a truck with about 100 people, and from this vantage point, we could see the whole thing. And the police had split the thing in two, the crowd in two, and they moved them north and south. Now, I was on the north part, and they were coming toward us. Now, the people on the truck, they weren't yelling. They were just spectators. And so the police just moved toward us, and they had around 25 policemen right near the truck, and these policemen were just stationed there, and they did not move. They were like attention, and so with a reckless abandon, they gave no sign. They said nothing. They moved on the truck, and there was youngsters there and every kind of old people, teenagers, and they just moved on the truck without giving any notice. And the first thing that came to the truck, they hit the truck with their billy clubs first. They climbed up on the cab, and the truck had a flat surface to it. It was like a truck and trailer. And they just swarmed over the truck, full speed. And I was lucky to escape it, but there were many who didn't. People on the truck, just to save their heads, they jumped into the crowd, which was right below the truck on the other side. Now, what this caused was that the people jumping off the truck landed on people and knocked them down. And so these people who were on the ground, a lot of them were old people, and they couldn't get up. The police surrounded the truck, and then on the other side, they just started beating the people.
But you saw people being beaten.
I saw people being beaten.
Any resistance to the police? They were just standing there, right?
They were covering their faces just to keep from having their heads split in half.
These weren't people who punched the police?
No, they were not. And right around the time, this is when the violence really started. The people were not instigating that. I saw one kid who was there. He had a black jacket on, and I think he was with his father. And I just saw 3 policemen come to him and start beating him. And people around the area, just to, they had to protect their heads, but at the same time, they were dragging the kid off. The kid did not scream. He did not use profanity. I think he was unconscious. He was bleeding. And the police, the people on the ground, they just walked. And then there's a corner there. They turn the corner, and they get him off the main thoroughfare, and the thing was going to turn right. And they started marching, and the police, they formed a line perpendicular to the street, and used a wall, and they started marching. And they were like a, and this wall was just marching down, and they broke into a run. Now, somebody had yelled that, you know, this is an illegal assembly and for people to just disband it, but the people in the front did not hear it, because this was about a block away. They just didn't hear it. And so they were standing still, and the people, and so the thing couldn't move. The police had surrounded the whole area. You could not go on the sidewalk because they had formed a line there. You couldn't go on either side. The only way of exit was straight. And so the people in the front would not move, and the people in the back had nowhere to go. and so the police. I was in the back. Fortunately, I didn't get hit, but there was nowhere to go. You had to walk over people just to get out.
Felipe Theodore is the name that I write under. And I will proceed.
Be my guest.
Well, I volunteered my services as a monitor, and that was my reason for being, or rather not my reason for being there, but the part that I took in this demonstration. At first, when we first began the march, I didn't realize whether or not we'd ever have a chance to participate as monitors, because in the beginning there was no communication, no prearranged or preconceived notion as to the extent of the monitor's participation. This to me disturbed me, because in the beginning, when the first incident took place, which was the breaking up of the truck and the beating of the people in it and the arrest, after the participation that I took in that, I realized the need for the monitors and the mobilization people to take a much more active participation. I'll explain that. When the police first came in with that that mob control element, that phalanx that they get into and then charge at the group, at that moment I realized that there must be some sort of a breach between the police and the demonstrators by means of the monitors and the mobilization people. So we all jumped in together and locked arms and kept the police away from the demonstrators by asking them to please not create an incident that would of course do them harm. And after a while it all calmed down. We proceeded to march along. I kept moving. I kept the coordination going. We all moved along orderly until we got to the area of the hotel. I kept moving forward as quickly as I could to get near the front. I wanted to know what was going to happen in the front. I understood that they were going to sit down. I wasn't sure. Civil disobedience was talked about, but no one was really sure of what was going to happen. the most tragic thing there was no coordination of communication. The police, of course, did say that this is an unlawful assembly. You will disperse. But nobody knew where to go. There was no place to go, because we didn't know whether to move forward, backwards, down the hill, or over the policemen's heads. The most important thing that happened to me was when I was trying to get some sort of coordination of communication. I actually begged a lieutenant and a sergeant, and also the police in the front lines, to please get some sort of an amplifier on our side, a speaker system, to do this, to breach this gap in the communication. But only one of the officers tried to get me that equipment, and it failed. The police units formed, and it was obvious what was going to happen. They lined up in three lines, one in back of the other, and began to go into the crowd crowd. I was right up there in the front between the police and the demonstrators, and I had my arms up in a spread eagle fashion, asking the people to please move back. I received maybe five or six blows to the back, two or three prods and a couple right into my side, right into my where the ribs are and the lung, etc. And the thing that I tried to say, with the system that they would not give me, was concern for the children, the elderly, respect for the rights of those not intending to participate in any sort of civil disobedience, and give them a way out. And this, of course, brought some sort of smirk to the faces of the police, and almost as though anything that any of us may wish to do to alleviate trouble would not ensue.
David Lang,
I see you're president of the Students for a Democratic Society at the University of Southern California.
The first point is this, that to the best of my knowledge, and being a monitor, I think that that knowledge is fairly substantial, because I knew most of the other people who were monitors and was in on the meetings of the monitors for several days prior to the demonstrations, and then at the site before the march actually moved out. And I know of no group, nor of any individual, that planned any violent type of activity. I was aware that there were certain people who had discussed the possibility of having some kind of civil disobedience, specifically of staying in front of the hotel once they got there, and of trying to have more people stay there, and possibly even of having some people sit down there and refuse to move. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, as I said previously, to the best of my knowledge, no group or individual planned anything violent, that any type of activity that was talked about was a Gandhian type of civil disobedience. And the second point I'd like to make is that violence on the part of the police began before the march reached the front of the Century Plaza Hotel, and I can relate to two specific incidents in this. First of all, as a monitor, I was back toward the moving out area of the demonstration, about a quarter mile up from where the crowd was actually forming into the column. And just as I was arriving at the scene and people were becoming involved in the column, there was an incident in which somebody was roughed up and put into a police car for no apparent reason. Secondly, a few minutes after this happened, a large yellow police bus, a bus that would in size compared at least to a city bus, came roaring down the right side of the road, going in an opposite direction from that in which the columns were moving. But at the velocity that this bus was moving, would have absolutely precluded it from stopping if somebody had been in its path. And this was seemingly the pattern, because any time police vehicles maneuvered in the vicinity of the column, or later on in the crowds when the column was broken up, they did so at a high velocity, slamming their brakes on just before they reached the crowd. Now, once the tail end of the column had left the point of origin in the demonstration, I hurried up to the front of the Century Plaza Hotel area. This took me approximately 5 minutes. First of all, when I got there, I went around the entire edge of the front end of the column and checked it out as a monitor to see what the story was.